Hey gang, I'm here to tell you about Stitcher. Stitcher's smart radio, on-demand news, talk, and more for your mobile phone. Stitcher brings radio and podcast listeners a better way to listen to their favorite shows and helps them discover new content by delivering personalized audio streams on demand right to your smartphone. How Did I Get Here, along with over 5,000 other shows, is on Stitcher. You can listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or any of the pads. Stitcher's smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher smart radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Now, let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. Andy Biancooley from the band Star Parks is here. They have a new album coming out in January 2016 called Don't Dwell, which was recorded in Lafayette, Louisiana, Tucson, Arizona, and Austin, Texas. You can find their music at starparks.bandcamp.com, and you can find them on Facebook. If you live in Austin, they will be playing next Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, Friday, November 27th at the Spider House, along with Devin James Fly. I am the Albatross. We are Blood Bats, and it's all presented by Overlord. And the show starts at 10 p.m. Friday, November 27th at the Spider House. You can catch Star Parks. The fabulous Andy Biancooley and I have a great conversation about his band that he's in. He's in a real like Cajun band as well. And he's out there touring and he's playing music. He's a great musician. We have a great conversation. He's a great hang. So stick around for that. Andy Biancooley from the band Star Parks and I have a great conversation on this episode. All right. Before we get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me. I played on Tuesday. I played a solo show. My friend Jonas Wilson opened for me. It was a great show, man. I played down at the Townsend here in Austin. Great new place. I've been playing there since the opening night of it. I got to play the opening night. My friend Steven owns it and my friend Kathy. And yeah, man, I had a great time playing. I had a great time playing my songs. There were a lot of musicians came out and I had them all come up on stage. A lot of nice people came out. There's some pictures. I posted them on JohnnyGowdyMusic.com or Johnny Gowdy Music on Facebook. Go to my Facebook page over there. And check that out if you're interested in that music. I'll be doing another show there on Tuesday, December 17th, all right? And I'm playing next Tuesday at the Volstead here in Austin with my friend, my dear friend, Mr. Nathan Harlan, who I used to be in Endosheen with. You might have heard him on the show before. Anyway, it's been a great week. Then, let's see, I did that Tuesday night. Then Wednesday, I went and had dinner. Zuri and I went to dinner with our friend Amy Edwards and her husband Kevin. Had a great dinner, great time. They took me for dinner for my birthday. And yeah, I got to see the new Van Zant. We had a drink there. And then we ate, had a great time, beautiful time. Then yesterday, Thursday, I went and filmed another episode, our Thanksgiving special, of Cooking and Drinking with Johnny and AJ. And his whole band, Whiskey Rebellion, was there. And there was this guy named Robert Wagner who was there, who's the drummer of the band Suede. And so we fried this turkey and made, you know, yams and made green beans. And yeah, I've had a little Thanksgiving thing. You can see that next week. I'll post it on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Don't forget, hey, listen, we have a lot of new listeners at the show. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can find it on Stitcher. You can find it on all the, like the Apple Podcasts, the iTunes Podcasts. Find it all on there. You can subscribe. You'll get a new show. We put out two shows a week, one on Tuesday, one on Friday. Sometimes we put out three shows a week. I know the week after next is the three-show week. Got a lot of big stuff going on. Black Fret, Sims, even The Exiles. A lot of big shows. Anyway, yeah, go there and subscribe. You'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday, sometimes three shows a week. And also, you were on Stitcher, which you heard at the beginning of the thing. You can find that. That's a streaming service, which makes it a little bit easier. So if you listen to podcasts on your phone, you won't get bogged down. You won't eat up the memory. You're just streaming it like you do your movies and your music. So anyway, Stitcher everywhere. Just go find How Did I Get Here. Also, you can like our Facebook page and you will get updates from guests. You will get updates from me. You will get updates about the show. You'll see pictures of guests, pictures of the show, all kinds of things. Okay, so just get involved and do it. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Johnny Gowdy. If you are interested, okay, if you're so inclined. I'll stop trying to stuff down your throat and let's sit down and have a great conversation with Andy Biancooley from the band Star Parks. As I said, their new album, Don't Dwell, comes out in January 2016. But you can hear music from them at starparks.bandcamp.com, and you can find them on Facebook, all right? I hope you guys all have a great, great weekend, whatever it is that you're doing. If you're out there running the trails, if you're driving in your car, if you're in a band touring, and you're listening to this, and you're listening to it all together, hey, I hope you guys have a great show tonight. Break a leg. All right, let's talk to Andy Biancooley from the band Star Parks. Let's get down.
No, I got nervous as soon as it started. I'm like, oh no, this might suck. But it was great.
I pretty much forgot it was John Cusack in the in the car dealership.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That was great.
And, you know, that's a hard thing. You're probably a fan. You've probably read some books, like a lot of the people that I went to go see it with, too.
Mm-hmm.
And while you know it's, there's no way, unless it's like a 15-hour movie, that it's going to really satisfy what we want to know. But they were able to do it in a way that it was really touching, and they showed music stuff. They showed him being his most creative. Dude, they showed his fucked up thing.
To the picture, like, to photographs.
Yeah.
Like, perfect.
Yeah.
Especially, like, Spectre's place.
Yeah.
That was so, I'm like geeking out.
Yeah.
I'm like,
all
right, just calm down.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it was great.
What, are you guys playing a lot right now?
Yeah, all right, so I'm in kind of two bands. The other band I'm in is based out of Louisiana.
Wait, are you related to David Biancooley from Fresh Air?
No.
Okay.
Maybe.
I've been wanting to ask you that.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
All right.
But, so I play in this Cajun band, so I tour with them a lot.
What do you do there?
I play guitar and, like, sing. It's called Fufale. It's like, based out of Lafayette. And they tour a lot because they do pretty well. It's like a niche kind of thing.
It's Zydeco?
It's like traditional Cajun music, but they do.
What's the difference between that and Zydeco?
Zydeco is like, to really put it the simplest way, it's kind of like black Lafayette Creole, you know? Okay. Cajun music is from like the Cajun from Canada.
Okay.
White people, you know, grown up like... Violin, accordion, fucking singing in French.
Washboard?
No, not so much. Zydeco's got the washboard.
Right, right, yeah.
And Zydeco's usually, you know, black guys.
Yeah.
Fucking, a lot of English. They sing in French, too, you know. Clifton Chenier sings in French, but like...
Did you grow up on that stuff?
No, I'm from New York, man.
How did you get involved in this situation? How does a guy that may... I mean, I just listened to Star Parks, well, just the three songs, but...
Yeah.
There's no Zydeco guy playing guitar in a band in Lafayette in that music.
So we would go through there when my old band, we tour through Lafayette a lot, right?
Uh-huh.
And we met this whole group of guys who were like fucking amazing musicians, you know? They're like the best musicians I've ever met. And they're very humble and casual about it. They just kind of, oh yeah, I play everything. I've been playing since I was 5 years old.
I like those kind of guys.
Yeah. And they're like a mechanic.
Yeah.
And they also just, oh yeah, I can do this too.
Yeah.
You know? But we went through there and... I became really good friends with them, so I recorded half of this record with them.
I saw that Lafayette. You did some in Lafayette. I was going to ask you why.
They were like my backup band.
Oh,
For like a few songs.
Okay.
And then one of their
guys... What did they... I mean, when...
What?
This isn't like the kind of music that they play.
No.
When you played them the stuff, were they like, oh, yeah, this is...
They get it. They're very like...
Okay, cool.
They're kids. They're like 26.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're not like old
for
guys.
Some reason, I thought of like these really old guys.
That's a weird thing. All right, so like... They grew up and they were almost bred to play this music. They were put in French immersion classes, so they only speak French in school. They learned how to play fiddle and accordion like very, very young. But they also grew up, you know, liking rock and roll and being like kids. So they love Big Star. They love fucking like, you know, rock and roll.
Yeah.
And they also know how to do all of this traditional stuff, like just pull it out. So it's kind of a cool band. They can...
It's a really cool band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what sucks is that, like, there's preservationist ideas around that music.
Sure.
So if you go anywhere with that they don't want you to go, they get really pissed. So they kind of call you like a traitor. Like you're ruining this culture. You're playing. It's like a Bob Dylan thing. They're like, every step of the way. And I'm kind of, I walk into this and I'm like, is this seriously what you guys are facing writing music? Like, you got to worry about, you know, if all these people are going to get upset. It's crazy. And it's a really weird pressure to have. Like, I've never even.
In most styles of music, I think there is that.
That's strange. I no one's ever cared about anything I've ever done, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To have that kind of, like, attention to, like, what, like, oh, wow. Why is there a piano? Why is there an electric guitar in this?
Or, like,
why isn't there a lot of French, you know? Like, I've read all the reviews. It's fucking madness.
That's insane.
Yeah.
How much? So where all do you guys tour?
We just went to Europe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We went to France for about a week and a half. It was awesome.
Fuck, that's great.
Yeah, I don't speak any French, though. So it was like five people that speak fluent French and me.
Who comes to these shows?
Like 1,000 Frenchmen. 1,000 people came to the show in each town. And like the mayor met us, gave us like a bottle of cognac, and like gave us this huge speech.
That's so funny.
I don't know. It's insane. And I'm just like, okay, thank you. Thanks, you know, just let's play. It's really weird. We had a big dinner every night. We're like,
yeah, those European tours are kick-ass, man. Those promoters know how to make you want to come back.
But a lot of times when we go around the country, we go to folk festivals, world music festivals. We play at like, where are you from?
I mean, I live here.
I'm
here.
So like, I don't know.
I mean, I was born in Miami.
You were born in Miami?
Yeah.
When we go to like the Midwest and stuff, there's these like groups of always old people, never really young people, 50s, 60s, like maybe older sometimes, you know, and they are really, really into that kind of music. It's almost like in the 60s when like the folk revivalists, these people are like scholarly and like really into it, you know?
Yeah.
And
they're real fans.
Real fans. But
they don't fuck around.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's around that whole culture. So anything like that, they're into.
They wouldn't get into your Star Parks.
They would not
music.
Like my band. I don't think so.
Well, that's really cool, man. So that keeps you busy. Do you have another job that you work?
Yeah, I work at a bar.
All right.
On Manor Road.
Yeah. On Manor?
Yeah, Butterfly Bar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a good place?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's got that theater over there. So there's pretty good crowds every night.
Oh,
Vortex?
Yeah, the Vortex. Yeah. I went to a show. Oh, I know what bar you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's
I went
a cool
to a
bar.
Show there during South by Southwest.
Yeah. Was it a punk show?
Yeah, it was. I went to go meet someone that I was interviewing. Do you know Angelo Moore from Fishbone?
From Fishbone?
Yeah. He played there.
I don't know. Really?
Yeah, and
what?
I went there to meet him.
Cool.
And then we went across the street to that really loud place to do an interview. It was
Haymaker?
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah, place
it
sucks.
Was, and it was during South by. I mean, it was the podcast is like both of us talking at like the top of our speaking voices.
Yeah. Yeah. Which one? Was he the main guy?
He was the
Fishbone?
Singer. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
I had a few Fishbone records.
Yeah. Me too. I was I was a big fan.
Yeah.
So where did you grow up? You're from New York?
I grew up in New York, yeah.
What's the deal? Where?
Valley Stream, Long Island.
Oh, yeah.
It's like got 20 minutes from the city, like South Shore.
Pretty Billy good. Joel area.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it is Billy Joel Central.
It's funny because like just there's like this like around New York City, like up there in Long Island, like it's like Billy Joel. It's like Jesus and Billy Joel.
Yeah.
And then like you go south to Jersey and it's Jesus and Bruce.
And Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a Bruce Springsteen fan? Well, what'd you grow up listening to?
I grew up punk rock first, you know? That was, like, the first thing that, like, when my mind started working.
What era of punk was happening?
A lot
happening?
Of, like, East Bay shit. Like,
what's that?
Like Rancid, Operation
okay.
Ivy, stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But then all the kids the only kids that I knew who listened to music in New York were listening to punk rock. Everybody else listened to hip-hop and, you know, 90s hip-hop.
Yeah.
So it was, like, either you did that or you did punk rock because there was no, like, weird...
There wasn't, like, the people playing garbage?
Not really. No, there wasn't, like, nobody, like, Pavement. There wasn't, like, an indie rock scene that I was aware of. I might have missed it. I wasn't, you know. But, so these kids listen to, like, Agnostic Front. We'd go see, like, you know, the Casualties, like, down in the city and stuff.
Yeah.
like take the train, go drink 40s and listen to punk rock.
How old were you?
15.
Yeah.
16.
What, how old were you? What do your parents do?
My dad, he owns a carpet store.
Okay.
At that time, my mother was a crossing guard on the street that would have to go to school to. It was very embarrassing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But yeah, my dad and my brother, they work together. They do floor covering.
How did you get music? What happened?
Well, my dad was a drummer.
Okay.
My uncle was a bass player.
Oh, so it was there.
But it wasn't really, because they kept it from me. My dad had the drums in the house, like, I never heard him play it my whole life, you know? Until I started playing guitar, I'm like, hey, Dad, maybe, you know, start playing drums.
Was he good?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Did he do anything? Like, did he have bands?
He has one 45 that he made. It's actually incredible. It's so good.
Really?
He didn't write it. Okay. I thought he wrote it all these years. I found out he didn't write it. But he went into the city when he was a kid. He was like a 16-year-old kid. Him and his band, they're called Brand X.
That's a great... Were they punk?
No. It was the 60s. You know? So it's like...
Garage?
It sounds like a Phil Spector song.
Oh, it's fuck. That's really, awesome.
Really good. Yeah, it's really cool. Backup singers, like Chicks and everything.
Do you cover it?
I want to.
It's you
really,
should.
I should. He would be really happy.
I would love to hear that song.
Yeah. I should just do it and send it to him for his birthday. Yeah, it's really good. I'll try. I don't know how I could send it to you because it's on a 45, but I'll try to get it to you. It's really cool.
Well, you should digitize it anyway. That would be a great thing to have.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I got to get the technology.
Yeah.
Oh, I have it. I just got that.
Yeah. Would you get a turntable that plugs into your computer?
Yeah.
So you grew up then listening to punk, and what made you want to, what was the first instrument you played?
I borrowed a guitar from my aunt. I started playing guitar very badly. I remember I had to go back to the store to get the guy to tune it every time I went out of tune because I didn't know how to tune the guitar.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I got really, really into it really quick. And I'd go home from school, play for like 8-9 hours till my parents would get mad, you know?
Yeah.
And then I did it in secret. I didn't tell anybody about it. So then I remember it was like senior year. I was at like a party. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know how to play guitar. There's like a guitar over there.
Yeah.
And I started playing, and like all the people started paying attention to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I think I like this. This is good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was nice. And, you know, everybody else had something. I feel like that's one of those things where like, oh, all right, this is going to be the thing that I'm going to do.
Yeah. That's a great feeling, isn't it? There's a great comfort in like when that clicks, I don't know, I guess it happens in the arts, and I've heard it happening in the arts. I never hear somebody go like, oh, and then I got that job at Bank of America.
Yeah,
and
I knew it.
And I knew it.
Yeah.
But there's such a feeling of comfort. There's like, oh, okay, now I've got now I'm on a path.
Yeah.
Like I've got a path. There's no like question.
Yeah.
I just got to, you know, start crossing these, you know, lines.
And that's the cool part about it too. Cause then you're like, all right, I just want to learn how to play this song. I just want to learn how to do this. Then like, oh, I want to play a show. Oh, I want to make a record. I want to make a good record. You know, and you get all these like milestones.
Yeah.
And it never really stops.
So did you go to college and stuff?
Yeah, I went to college in Maryland.
Okay.
For writing though, which I guess helped. But
it's important.
Not really. You know.
Did you want to write as well? Or were you just doing something that your parents would be like?
No, I really like writing. I still write. I love writing.
That's good.
I was interested in that too. I started a band about sophomore year of college, and then it kind of got hard to pay attention. I finished somehow. I don't know how.
But you got, once you got the music and started your band, then that just kind of like, it's hard not to think about that shit all the time when you first, you know what I mean?
And it was hard to go on the road with a band, especially when you're like, we're 20, we're getting pretty messed up, like on the weekends. Like we'd go down to like West Virginia and take psychedelic drugs and then go to school. On Monday? I don't know what the hell's going on, you know? I don't know what's going on. And talk about Chaucer. I don't want to do that. So it was kind of weird.
So what was the band called?
All right, so it was a band that I joined. It was called Earth Tone. It was like a jam band when I joined the band. And eventually we kind of started writing decent songs, I think. I mean, they're a great band.
You have the same feeling towards jam's bands that I obviously
I'm sure, yeah. No, I can't. And it's weird because I was in it for so long, you know?
Yeah.
And it, what's up?
I just thought about this. It's so fucking funny. But there's this guy that works with my band Skyrocket. He's a tech guy.
Wow.
And he's setting up the drums on Saturday, day before yesterday. And he's setting up the drums. He's really excited, telling us about this band that he's just in love with. And he's like, dude, the drummer does the most technical stuff you've ever heard.
What?
And like, I looked at the bass player and I started nodding no. And then he just kept on going. He's like, dude, it's like with the musical sensibilities of like Dream Theater, but like with the songs of Rush. And he goes, dude, you're going to freak out when you hear it. And I was like, I'm going to freak out because you basically just described the worst band I've ever
What band was it? I can't remember.
Oh,
man. I just saw the Zombies the other day.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, here's the thing about drummers. The bass player that tours with the Zombies now, he wasn't an original guy. He played with the Kinks for like 20 years.
Wow.
But his kid plays drums. And his kid, when I say his kid, he's like 50.
Right. Because you know? Those guys are like 70.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the first part of the set is like, all right, they're doing the old hits and they're doing stuff off the new record, you know?
Yeah.
And the drummer
They have a new record?
Yeah, they got a new record. I'm not going to get too excited about it.
That's so sad, man, because we're aging. At some point, we're going to be those guys making this.
Oh, I thought about that the whole time. I was like, oh, no. Oh, God. But so they're just this fucking rock and roll drummer, and he's overplaying everything. He's missing the feel to every single song because he's playing like freaking Dave Grohl or some shit. He's playing like rock and roll.
Yeah.
And he's not doing any of those cool 60s fills. Then they do the Odyssey and Oracle. They do the whole album, and they bring out the original drummer, and it's like, oh. And I bet that guy thinks he's a better drummer than the old guy. You know what I mean?
I bet the guys in the band think he is.
I bet the guys. I used to
be friends with this guy who's Robin Gibbs' kid from the, from the Bee Gees and stuff, and I remember talking to him when like, why do they use those cheese fucking like
shit tones
Parker Fly guitars and shit now? And he's like, dude, the thing is, they like to them, that's the shit that we think is the coolest stuff is just shit they used to use. They want to use the new stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what is wrong with
processors
them?
That are just like, they use all that
Zoom.
Crap. Yeah.
You got your Zoom guitar. Yeah.
It's weird. And I was thinking about that too. I'm like, man, they are definitely like, yeah, well, we're bringing the old guy now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? He's so much better. Like that guy's like, he kept coming out too and like playing and ruining every song, you know? But
so, they played like Tell or No and stuff like that with this new guy?
They did all those old stuff.
Okay.
So like She's Not There, Tell or No, like Woman, like all the older hits, you know?
Right.
They did that with the new guy. And then...
Why?
I guess...
Well, is the other guy in trouble? Maybe, he can only play Odyssey and Oracle.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they're like trying to like push like this is our band now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. This is what we're doing now.
This is what
Check
we're doing
out
now.
Our new drummer.
Yeah. And like some of their new stuff was like... They did this. They wrote us. It was all nostalgic.
Yeah.
Like when we were young, talking about the 60s. And I got this feeling that, like, they're, like, jockeying for, like, this position of being, like, a great 60s group, which they are. I don't think there's any doubt that they are, but I don't know if they know they are. It's weird because I feel like they're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They're not.
I feel like people don't talk about the Zombies that much. They do now.
Pop guys. Music guys.
Yeah.
Like nerds.
Yeah. That know what's like that fits in that thing, yeah. There's only a certain amount of records like that, though.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I played "This Will Be Our Year" with somebody that I was playing guitar with, and there was no context for that song. I was like, "Oh, dude, you want to do this song as a cover? Oh, you're cool. I'll totally play with you and all this stuff." Like, you like an Odyssey and Oracle fan? What's that?
Oh, huge. Yeah.
And then that's what I said. I was like, are you an Odyssey and Oracle fan?
Uh-huh.
I don't even know what that is. Oh, I heard this song at the end of a Mad Men show.
Wow. Oh, see, that's
I was like, whoa.
That happened. That's weird.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird people's references are like not the thing it's supposed to be?
Yeah, I used to be in a band with a guy a long, long time ago, and it was like a super pop band, and we were doing an interview one time, and I didn't know this story, but they were talking about the first record that you really wanted that you got.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said that it was Sgt. Pepper.
Uh-huh.
And Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And he asked his dad to get his dad got it on his way home from work.
Yeah.
But it was the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper. It wasn't the soundtrack to the movie.
Oh,
he just saw
that's what he wanted. The Peter Frampton one. No. What is this junk? No. Oh, my God. The Bee Gees are in that too, right?
Yeah.
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 Oh, man. He was upset.
Yeah. I always thought that was such a great story. Because I grew up like with like, you know, my dad sang in a band in the 60s.
Yeah.
I was born in 68. So like, you know, and you know, my parents were going to concerts. My parents were young and like they were pregnant. My mom was pregnant when she saw Hendrix and the Vanilla Fudge with me and stuff.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't have made them. They like I think I was raised right musically.
I was left alone with it.
That's pretty good too.
Yeah.
Like, hey, do what you gotta do.
Yeah. Like I remember when I started like really getting in guitar and playing classic rock stuff, my dad was like, I heard him like talk with his friends, like, yeah, he's listening to Creedence today or something like that, you know?
He's cool.
He's getting better. Yeah. But I outcooled my dad though. That's the thing. Cause I left him in the dust.
Yeah, me too.
And I feel like as he's gotten older, I'm not gonna tell him about I was on this show. You know what I'm saying? But as I got older, like I started, like his taste just went to shit. He started listening to like American Idol stuff because he thinks that that's the same thing. You know, like that's like an entertainer. And like, Dad, you don't see the difference between these things. This is shit, Dad. This is not good, you know?
Like what American Idol stuff?
He follows it. He buys the records, man, you know?
Oh, like the compilation thing of all the people?
Yeah, and like I think because... You know, he listens to Barry Manilow a lot now, something like that. He loves Three Dog Night. He's a big Three Dog Night fan.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to get him to listen to Harry Nilsson, and, you know,
he didn't like Harry Nilsson?
He didn't, that's like, it didn't trans. I'm like, Dad, you know that song you like, Harry Nilsson? Well, you should listen to this one.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
It's not going
to
work.
Yeah. But, yeah, I've gotten him some records over the years that I don't think he's listened to. Like, I remember I got him Harvest. I don't think he opened it.
Yeah, dude. My dad would not know what to make of Harvest.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this guy? He sounds like he's having a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, is he an immigrant?
My dad's Cuban, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, so all of my imitations of him sound like some bad Canadian ethnic father who yells at him. So how did you get to Austin, man? How long were you up in Maryland? Like, what was going on?
I've been here 8 years now. So okay. I lived there for 5. So I've been out of New York for almost 16 years. No, I left New York when I was 17.
Oh, why didn't you go back to New York to do the thing? Why did you come here?
I don't know.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that.
I feel like I was on that thing, though, you know. Like, I just wanted to keep going, you know.
Further away from
I didn't want to go to New York. I don't know why I don't want to go to New York again. I didn't feel like anything was going on there, I guess. I'm probably wrong, but... Especially, that was right when, like, Brooklyn was getting what it was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Brooklyn was turning into whatever the hell it is now. Am I talking about
Brooklyn?
Enough?
No, yeah. Okay. Brooklyn is a place that, in June, I went to, I went to a bar on the roof of a Urban Outfitters.
Somebody just told me they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great bar.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Just the setting, you're just kind of like, this is kind of cheesy.
That is kind of weird. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, because, I mean, you have the same complaints about this place. I don't know if you do, but everything's kind of turning into that same thing, so it depends what you really want. I'm really glad I spent my 20s here, you know? It was great. When I first moved here, it was everything I'd ever wanted. We had a practice space on Rainy Street before any of that was there.
Wow.
Right next door to the Lust of Pearl. We built a studio in that house next door to the Lust of Pearl.
Were there other bands at rehearsal?
Yeah, it was like... Three of us, like we were all just going there.
That's fucking played till like
three
dude.
In the morning. It was fucking great. Yeah. So that when that
okay, went, I know what you're saying.
It was that White House.
No. Yeah. But I know what you the feeling that
yeah.
There's like
it's amazing.
Yeah, you know, I first moved here in 1984. And I moved away in 85 after my mom died, and then I moved back here in 91, and I've lived here ever since. And there is kind of like, I just went running. A couple weeks ago, and I decided to get off the trail and just take off down Rainy Street.
Yeah.
And just kind of run downtown.
Yeah.
And when I was running down Rainy Street, I hadn't been there since like South by Southwest. It's a completely different place.
They tore down the thing that they just built. It's like, yeah, it's happening pretty quick.
But is that weird?
It's really.
For you?
All right. Well, if you're going to like compare it, I feel like in New York, you don't get nostalgic about stuff like that because... That happens all the time.
Yeah.
And like my neighborhood that I grew up in, completely different group of people live in there than when I lived there. Right. And when my parents were older, completely different group of people lived in there. And I'm talking about like culturally.
Right.
You know? And you didn't get hung up about it. There was some, you know, a little bit of push and pull from people who were a little bit more, you know, angry about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, like, the opposite thing happens in a place like this. And then, so you get a whole different attitude. Like, all right, it's really not anybody's, you know? It's where everyone's just trying to do the same thing. It's right. It sucks when people from out of state who don't care, who aren't just trying to get a nice life. Because I feel
you
like in,
gonna,
New,
yeah.
in New York, it's like that. Like, you know, everyone should have the ability and, like, all right, it's their turn. You know?
Yeah.
You had 30 years living there with people that looked just like you. Yeah. You enjoyed that for some reason.
Yeah.
Now there's a whole different group of people who want to do that, you know?
Yeah.
But like here, it's kind of just weird. It doesn't seem like it. They know quite what they're doing. It's just happening really quick, you know?
It's also a lot younger here. You know what I mean? Like the city is younger.
Yeah.
As a city. And it just kind of became cool in the 70s.
Yeah.
Before that, people didn't even know it was here.
Yeah. I just don't dig that yuppie shit. I don't know about you. I just like to, I just want to go to a restaurant and eat something.
Yeah.
You know? I don't need it to be put on a marble slab.
Right.
With like a...
With a foam...
Yeah.
With foam shrimp.
With an iris sticking out of it. I don't care. I just want a fucking bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. That's all I want. It's all like...
Do you know this guy, Joe Hummel?
No.
I got some New York guys you got to meet. There are musicians here,
too. A bunch of assholes in town?
No. They're some of my favorite dudes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We should start a group.
In fact, my friend Joe... My friend Pally played bass. Pally was a bass player. Joe was a drummer in this band I had called Liars and Saints. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Sexton used to call them the Utes. The rhythm Utes. Section. Did you ever see...
Yeah, what do you... two Utes.
Yeah, that's what he called
Yeah, my cousin Vinny.
Because there's like three people just talking, and then the drummer and bass player speak up. They're like, hey, so listen, this is what I was thinking.
Yeah. So, I hang out with a lot of East Coast guys, and it's funny when there's somebody who's not from there.
Yeah.
And we all kind of realize how ridiculous we are.
Yeah.
We're like, I'm sorry.
I think there's a sensibility, though, because I think, being either ethnic of a Latin descent, even Italian, Cuban, Spanish, or Jewish,
mm-hmm.
or just being on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Like even Miami, you have that sensibility where... Yeah. I feel more comfortable with someone like, hey, those are the shoes you're going to wear?
Yeah.
Then, good day, ma'am. How are you?
Yeah, no,
like,
totally.
I don't like those pleasantries.
I love the East Coast thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, I would prefer a friend of mine to treat me like absolute shit.
Yeah.
And to, like, point out every flaw I have.
Yeah.
Because that means he's, you know.
Yeah, he's paying attention.
But if you do that to somebody who's not used to that, it's very, like, I have to explain the joke.
Yeah.
And I'm like, forget about it. Forget it. No, your shoes are fine. I was just kidding. You know? It's tough.
Yeah.
Very sensitive souls out there.
So when you moved here, you had that rehearsal place at Luster Pro. What was your band then?
First band I played in was this band Slow Train.
Right. Oh, yeah. With Adam Nyrum.
With Adam Nyrum, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the first band I played with when I moved here.
I love that dude.
So I was looking for, you know, I was a huge Bob Dylan fan. He was the bigger
one. We didn't.
Did we ever
see Oh, no, that was a couple of years ago. I did a Dylan thing with them.
Really? Cool.
They did a Dylan versus Marley night.
What?
And they were the house band for the Dylan song.
Huh. Cool. Yeah, I played with them for maybe like a year, 2 years.
Awesome.
And then started the Preservation with Mario. Do you remember Mario?
Right, yeah.
And that lasted about 4 years until it completely deteriorated.
How does that happen? I like to hear deterioration stories.
Touring a lot, I think, doesn't help. Touring a lot, not making any money, you know? So we spent a lot of time in a van. I think...
Stressed out.
Like, why am I doing this right now?
Yeah.
My girlfriend's going to break up with me. I'm going to lose my job. I can't pay my rent. And it's your fault.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You booked this tour.
Yeah.
And you start getting that kind of angry about shit. And then you go to a studio where I want to make this huge record that's the greatest thing ever made. And I don't know what you want to make. And then we're arguing about stupid things. And it just kind of, everybody's... at each other's throat. I don't know if I handled it well. I felt like I was trying to do the right thing.
I think what happens is, and I've been in that situation, I don't know how many times.
Yeah.
Where I've hated someone I've been in a van with and then had to go record with them.
You're destroying my life, babe. Yeah. You know what I mean? That feeling that's very hyperbolic and you start getting like, all right, maybe it's not your fault.
Well, it's that weird moment. Like, you know how something happens. My aunt tells this story about being at my wedding, like 21 years ago. I've since been divorced, but she got divorced shortly after my wedding. Mm-hmm. And she's like, at your wedding is when I knew, oh, this is kind of over.
Yeah.
Because there was some, like, when the vows were being exchanged, I guess her husband let go of her hand.
Whoa. Weird.
In, like, this way that, like, yeah, I don't know. And it was, like, this thing where she was like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, you know that moment? You could just look at someone and you're like, it's never going to go back to what it ever was.
I just got, like...
It's eerie, right? Yeah. But that happens in bands all the time. There's at some point in that studio, you're having that argument, and you're looking at the person, you're like... Oh, wait a minute. We're not going to be able to overcome this.
Yeah, we went...
I should just leave.
I remember the talk. I remember the it was a very calm talk.
Yeah. That's it. It gives me goosebumps. It's so intense.
I said everything I thought I had to say. I thought I made great points. I'm like, there's no way you cannot agree with this. And he just didn't. And that was like, we played ACL. We played Blues in the Green. And that
was
it.
You were doing great.
We were doing great. And I was getting really excited. I'm like, I can't wait to work harder. And I felt like everybody else didn't really... get that. I'm like, it's gonna get worse, not worse, but like we're gonna be busier, you know. And like, I don't know if everybody was up for that. I feel like some people are very attached to like the life they have in this, you know, that artist's life, or just like that lazy life.
They say the velvet rut.
Yeah,
well, you're doing enough to get by.
Yeah, and that it scares them to let go of that, because I don't want to have to do this every day. I don't want to have, you know. And if you're thinking, well, I can't wait to not be living like this. I can't wait to play music every day. I can't wait to have to do this, you know? I'm excited about working like that. Then, you probably shouldn't work with people who don't want to do that. You're not going to make it. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, you're basically pressuring someone to do something that they don't want to do.
And that doesn't feel good.
Yeah. And I'm the cause of stress in their life. Because I'm calling them saying... hey, we got
to
do this.
Right. And they're like, oh, God, he wants to practice again. He wants to do this thing. And they don't see it as like, this is what you do.
Yeah, yeah. Aren't you excited?
You can't get there without doing all this stuff on the way.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are fucking lazy. They don't notice it, you know?
I mean, and then after you come to a point where like, that's just what they want in their life. I'm not going to make them do this thing. It's not my place. It sucks, though, because we went all this way. We did all this stuff together.
Yeah.
You'd think that maybe, like, just give me a little bit more, you know?
Well, also, the thing is you get to a point where you don't realize... I don't know how to explain this. Where you don't realize that you should be grateful because you're playing ACL, you're playing Blues on the Green. When you stop it and go start over, you're not there anymore. You're not going to do the thing that happens after Blues. You got to start all the way up and start trying to get back.
That's how pissed I was, believe you me.
I mean, just, you know, getting kicked back to the starting line is fucked.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even close, but, like, I've been in this band for a year now, and, you know, I'm trying to make this record for 2 years. So it's been like I was starting to make this record when I was in that band, because I was already kind of,
so you had that moment. Well, you let go of their hand.
Well, you know, like when like you're writing all these songs and you can't play them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're playing a wedding next week. Let's learn a bunch of covers. Oh, we're doing this show. We're not going to do new stuff. So you're like building up all this shit, like all these songs that you want to play that you have to play. If you don't play, you're going to go insane, you know? And you don't get to do it. So I started, you know, like, all right, I guess I'll just make my own record, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that kind of alienated people too, but who knows?
Well, I don't think that. Look, I think you made, the songs that I've heard are fucking great.
Oh, thanks.
How did you, you said there's the guys in Lafayette backing you up on some of the stuff. Who else is playing with you? Because I saw you recorded some stuff in Tucson.
Yeah, I went to Tucson, and then just me and my friend Andrew Kohlberg just made the whole thing. He plays drums, he played bass, and I did everything else, and it was like, we were just banging it out. It was...
Why Tucson? Because he was there?
He's there, he's got a studio, he's a really good friend, he's got a lot of... I thought maybe there'd be more musicians that we'd work with, but we ended up just doing really well together. And we just did it ourselves. But I don't know. The stuff in Lafayette was great, but it was really pressured because like there was like 6-7 people in the room. I'm teaching them these songs. We don't have that much time. You know, we only have...
You cut them pretty live?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, I did a whole other record that I scrapped. I did 7-8 songs there. And then we only kept 3.
Okay.
And then I wrote all these other songs, and when I went to Tucson, which I think were more what I was going for. So I had all that, like spillover from writing for another band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the songs were like kind of cute, and they're a little like kind of bouncy. I'm like, you know what? I want to do something a little more like serious.
Yeah.
A little more like earnest. You know?
Yeah.
So I had to kind of like spend a lot of money and time. You know.
It's good though.
No, I think so. I think so.
To get what you want, to be happy, to be like really proud of what you've done.
Yeah. And I went up and down on that. I thought I made a good record, and then I'm like, I don't know if I did. And then
that's one of those feelings. You know, like when you listen to a record and you're in the middle of it, you're like, what did I do?
Yeah, what did I do?
How bad will it be when I call them all in an hour and go like, okay, just throw everything away. I'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no. Because especially when you don't have anybody around that's going to tell you.
You're not in the band. It's just you.
Yeah, it's just me. So I'm like, all right. And you talk to your engineer or your producer, and they're like, yeah, it's good. Like, is it? Or you just don't want to work anymore. So tell me if it's really fucking good, man. I need to know if this is good. And I don't know if that'll ever, maybe I'll know if I do something really great. I don't know if that'll ever go away though.
Yeah.
Who knows? There were a few moments where I'm like, this is good. But those are fleeting.
It's really good. It feels like it has some special vibe to it.
Yeah.
Which is good. Yeah.
It's all cool. It was recorded cool, like on tape.
Oh yeah.
Mostly like just me and him, and I do vocals like kind of live, like for a lot of it.
Okay.
Where I'm just, you know, playing and singing.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I feel like it usually I get really hung up, and I would get like do a lot of takes and do a lot of, you know, overdubs, and this was just, you know, kind of just 16 tracks. Let's do what we can. We'll just make the song. If the song's not good in 16 tracks, maybe we should write a better song, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good. Cool. You seem to have a good, you have a good concept of what, well, at least what I think good songs are.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's a little, I don't know if other people think that who don't like the kind of music that we like. That's where it,
you know what? And to me, honestly, that's the good part of living in the time that we live in, because you can find your audience that's into this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's taken me a while, even with this thing. But I've found an audience that's very interested in what I'm doing. And you just got to go kind of find them one by one.
Yeah, totally. There's that was cool about going to the Zombies, because I saw the group of people that I always see at like the bands that I like.
Yeah.
That when I met them, we were all into the same stuff. And we like, you know, nerded out about like Randy Newman or something.
Yeah.
And like those people are all at those kinds of shows. It's nice to see.
That's weird. A good friend of mine just posted a picture of him and Randy Newman. And he wrote... Randy Newman's like, and he's got this huge smile on his face, and he said one of these guys is really excited about meeting his idol. Guess which one?
Oh man, I love Randy Newman so much.
Me too, man. What a great,
so great.
Yeah,
I always wanted to talk to you about XTC. I don't know how much time.
Okay, no, we got.
Have you even started recording it? Yeah.
Oh fuck.
Shit. Yeah, there was never that moment.
What do you want to talk about XTC? I just did a thing.
I know, and I really wanted to go to it, and then a friend of mine. That's where I saw your name. Like, I know this guy because you're going to the XTC thing.
Yeah.
Did you put that thing on? Were you in that band?
No, but I wasn't in the band. I sang a song.
Which
one? But I'm not the world's biggest XTC fan.
Oh, man.
This is where it gets weird.
Yeah.
But I am one of the world's biggest Dukes of Stratosphere fans.
Fuck yeah.
And so I sang Kaleidoscope.
Awesome. Yeah. Man, I've been looking for that
There's
record.
Such a distinct difference in the insane. Music made by... Yeah. It's the same people.
Yeah.
But
they're so
I
good.
Love XTC. So some good. Of their songs blow my mind. Yeah. And that show, I liked every song I heard. Yeah. And the other thing, too, was all those guys were my friends that were playing. And that's not like learning.
Those songs are tough, man.
Yeah, it's not like a Stones hoot night.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a fucking, like, you got it. Those guys have been rehearsing
the guitar licks
for 3 months.
Wow, man. So a bachelor party came into town from kids I grew up with.
Oh,
and I'm like, I really want to. There's no way these dudes would want to go to an XTC cover band. So, you know.
At a coffee shop.
I know, yeah.
Dude, they have wine.
Yeah.
That's you telling the guy.
Yeah, come on. I really wanted to go to that. Oh, did anybody do Brainiac's Daughter? Anybody do that one?
Nope. I was the only one that did a Duke song.
Cool.
Which I thought was even cooler.
I've been looking for that record. I'm going to have to order it. No one has it in stores.
No.
And I've got o'clock.
I got the vinyl of 25 o'clock.
Nice.
I like how I point over there.
Yeah.
And you look. I see it.
Awesome. Cool. Right on.
So this record's going to come out in January.
I hope so.
You hope so.
I hope so. I've been talking to, well, I just met these Irish guys, and they got this label out in Dublin, and they're like all about it. But my friend in town here, Rick from 9 Mile Records, wants to put it out. So
I'm 9 Mile Records.
Yeah.
I just had somebody on the show. Who did they just put out?
Sweet Spirit. Yeah, Sweet Spirit.
Sweet Spirit. Love them.
Yeah. Yeah, I've known Rick a while. He's a really good guy. I know he's kind of busy, but I'm trying to get it out. It'll be really nice.
He's got really good taste. I should talk to that guy.
Yeah, Rick's got
good taste. Sweet Spirit's fucking amazing. Like, yeah, I am blown away.
Yeah, they're great.
By their shit.
Yeah. We played with her when she was in Bobby Jealousy.
Yeah.
And I was immediately like, oh, shit. This is just a matter of time with this girl.
She's definitely got it. Yeah. She's fucking crazy, too. You know her?
I don't know her. Yes, great. Yeah. If she knows my name. If I ran into her, say hello. But I don't like hanging out with her or anything. But I just started a band with Josh, who plays guitar with them. We're playing with my friend Annalise. He's playing drums.
Okay.
So, I might get to know some of those guys better.
What all are you doing, like, musically? You've got Star Parks. And that's... That. And then...
I got Fufule.
That's Fufule.
My Cajun outfit. And then...
my Cajun outfit.
And then so my friend Annalise, she goes under AC Monero. She's an Australian girl. She's my bass player's wife.
Okay.
And we made a record for her about 2 years ago that I played on.
Do you produce?
Yeah, I produced that record, but okay. I've never done it before. I produced.
How'd you
records.
Like it?
I fucking love it. It's great.
I got into it like 11 years ago, and I did like 7 records like back to back.
I wish people would ask me to do it. You know,
people did ask me.
That's great.
And it was cool.
Yeah,
but at our level,
yeah,
and the level of involvement that I put into something,
yeah.
I was literally probably making, without exaggeration, 50 cents an hour.
Sure. But who cares?
When I was doing it. Yeah. Well, yeah, who cares? Yeah. When you're mixing a fucking record and the singer and guitar player come in and they go like, look, we just broke up.
Oh, fuck you.
And you're like, dude, I just worked for 30 cents an hour for a month and a half on this shit.
Wow.
That happened. Every band.
every single one.
Every band broke up, or either, you know, after the release. There was a couple things I did that I really liked, and then I got into it where I started upping the money. And then I did a record of somebody that I did not like personally, and I did not like their music that much.
That's tricky.
And then I felt bad.
Yeah.
Because I felt like if someone did that like to me,
that
would be a fucking drag.
Yeah.
But I did it. So, and I think I did a really good job.
Which Bob Schneider record was that?
Jesus. We're really good friends.
Oh, yeah?
I like his music. Okay. Yeah, he would never ask me to produce one of his records.
It's good at that.
That's another thing. He would never ask me in a million years. I shouldn't say that. Maybe he would.
Maybe he would. Well, that's tough.
So anyway,
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't name the artist because it's an actual person. And I think I just felt bad because I was testing myself, but then in the middle of it, I realized I was like, hey, well, maybe let's see if I can work with someone that I don't like and I don't like their music. And then I'm like, wow, this person's like life.
Yeah.
And I'm just making some money and trying to make it sound good. But I did sound good. She was happy with what she got and I wasn't. And then I just kind of dropped out. I did one more album and then I was like, there's not enough money in it.
Yeah.
People don't really have it.
Yeah. You know what I want to do, man?
What?
I want to do the house band. I want to have a band.
Yeah.
And I want to bring in people. And I want to make... I would like to do a Phil Spector thing like that. I mean, that's
the way to go. Do you watch that Wrecking Crew?
Oh, yeah. Movie? Actually, it's kind of boring. I mean, I'm obsessed with that. And I feel like it just got redundant. You know?
I guess so.
It was cool.
I just like seeing those people.
Yeah, me too. Hal Blaine's the man.
He is totally the man.
Incredible. What a fucking
who
cool
was
dude.
The, was it Nancy Sinatra that he was playing with live? When he just had like his whole thing.
It was like six toms.
There was a guy talking about when he got there. It was like Nancy Sinatra featuring Hal Blaine.
Yeah. On the marquee.
What a great dude that guy is.
Man. Oh, he's the man. And they're all East Coast guys too, living in California, you know?
Yeah.
Just like raking it in. And that poor guy got took for all his money. Hal Blaine.
Oh, yeah.
She just took all his money and he was like, I was on 50 number one hits. How am I not have any fucking money?
Yeah. I bet also there was a little like MC Hammer shit going on with him. I bet he was living a lot larger than he needed to be.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I would love, wouldn't that be, I don't know if there is a market for that, but wouldn't it be great to have a studio where you had a sound?
I got to be on a record. I got to be on a record where it was that kind of thing, where you had two sessions to make this whole record with a band of awesome people. Yeah. I got on it because I wrote a couple songs on the record. They're like, oh, will you come and play acoustic guitars? Basically just kind of, you know, doing the rhythm stuff for the basic tracks. But it was one of those things where the singer would sit down and like play the song to you guys. You have a chart and then you got to kind of make it something like bring. That's what those guys did. Yeah, you know, like all those cool... Like all those cool, like one-off, you know, one-hit wonder people that you go back and listen to have these cool fucking like parts. And these guys just like had 15 minutes to put it together and they did it.
Yeah. I just got this Cher record, which they're all on.
Okay.
It's called Sunny Side of Cher.
Yeah.
And it's like horrible song choices.
Yeah.
But they do Like a Rolling Stone.
Oh, really?
For some reason, she does Like a Rolling Stone. But it's the Wrecking Crew playing Bob Dylan.
World upon diamond,
it's so weird, man. But it's that band doing Bob Dylan, and it's incredible. Because it's like 66. It's in that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Imagine that was Bob Dylan's backup band.
I like his bands.
I mean, I love his bands. Yeah. They're great.
It might have been a little too kooky.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
although there's all those songs, didn't they play on like, didn't they play on the Birds?
Well, who are you talking about?
Mr. Like, Tambourine Man?
Did the Wrecking Crew? Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Carole K gives like bass lessons over the internet for like 50, 60 bucks. You can get Skype lessons from Carole K.
They're all in L. She's alive. Hal's alive, right?
Yeah. Pretty sure the only Tommy Tedesco died. Yeah, that was what that was. His son made that movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember hearing him on a podcast a couple years ago.
Yeah,
promoting the Kickstarter because when he made the movie, he did all the shit, and then all of a sudden, to use the music, was I think what he said is like five times the price of making the movie
to get all the music. They would have some rights to that though. Was it Hal Blaine or was it Tommy Tedesco?
It was Tedesco's son.
Cool.
And he was promoting the Kickstarter for it because they couldn't.
Yeah.
He just couldn't get the money.
That's insane.
To get the licenses for all the songs, and you can't do that movie.
Yeah. No. No. What are you gonna have like that? Yeah. Like, the kind of stuff that sounds like it, but it's not really it.
Yeah.
You know when they do that?
Yeah.
That's really weird.
Yeah, I hate that stuff. There's a Van Halen documentary on Netflix that masquerades as being a real thing.
When you turn it on, like and it's jump, like, but it's like
no, it's just like generic, like rock and roll song. Van Halen started on the streets of Los Angeles.
It recycles the same live clip that they had, like they got the rights to, and they just use it over and over again. Yeah, it's weird.
So your album Don't Dwell hopefully will be out in 2016, but there are three songs available at the starparks.bandcamp.com site, which you can download those songs.
Getting down to business now.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to make sure that I like talking to people, but I have been criticized sometimes that like, what was that person doing?
Just talking about restaurants. Just
talking about Tinder.
Tinder.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Been dating this girl for a little while. I had one for about 7 years, and we broke up like last year. We're getting into it now.
Yeah. You want to cry?
No, I'm just joking. No, I'm fine.
I've enjoyed talking to you. Is there anything that I'm missing? You got, I think this will air in November.
Yeah, okay. I'm thinking that I think the record will probably come out as planned.
Okay.
You know, so...
But at least these three songs are out. They can get a taste of what it is. You can pay what you want.
Yeah. So. Or you don't have to pay at all.
It's really?
Yeah. But it's fine. I'd appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, guy.
Yeah. You know, it costs a lot of money to make.
Yeah.
But, it should be... That'll come out. We're playing in town all over. So, you know, come see the band.
Yeah. Is there any... I would like to come, yeah.
Yeah. I think we're playing... This month, we're playing at... Stay Gold at the end of October.
I've heard that place is really cool.
I've never played. It does have sort of a vibe of like a work group party. Like, all right, guys, so now we gotta.
Oh,
kinda,
really?
It kind of has that vibe about it. A lot of places have that now, though, where like you take like a corporate meeting and be like, all right, everybody let their ties down a little bit. We're going to talk about, you know? But it is a cool, the inside's cool, and I hear they treat musicians pretty well, so who knows? Maybe it's a cool place to play.
That's a big thing people are there's a new place that opened where the Chicago House was or something.
Oh, yeah?
And for some, I'm getting like all these different people that work there coming to me and being like, well, this is going to be a great place, and we're really putting the musicians first. And I'm like, oh, those are the places that close in a month and a half after they open.
Completely.
Those places are like, dude, they're giving you a guarantee of $500 bucks on a Wednesday.
Tell
like,
all your friends, we're all going to play there, and then they're fucking close.
Close the place.
No one promotes it. We just like, yeah, well, they're going to pay us $500. We don't need to promote it.
Who cares? Yeah.
It's great. It's such a fucked
up
thing.
I'm so sorry to whoever that guy is that owns that
place. I played this place on Sixth Street, like right by Easy Tiger, like this weekend. And it was a fucking hassle. We had to strong arm the guy. We went in his office and we were like, hey, here's the text message. You said you'd give us $400. Give us fucking $400, right? But when I'm pulling up to the place before this all happened, I'm like, all right, I know what kind of place this is. They're nice. They put money into the sound system. Uh-huh. It's not bad. There's a stage. No one will ever come to this bar. No band that ever plays it will promote it. And it'll be closed or they won't have music in like a few months. Right? Uh-huh. Let's just see how it goes. All right? If they pay us like this every time we play here, it might not be a bad thing to do. So I'm kind of like apologizing to my band. Yeah. And like, you know, I'm like, hey, so listen, I know we don't want to play this show. It's not a big deal. If it goes well, we'll get some money. We need to put some... you know, get some merch soon, you know. Yeah. So it goes exactly how I think it's going to go. Just our girlfriends are there, you know. There's like 15 people and the sound fucking actually horrible. The monitors don't really work. And there's three bands. I thought there was only going to be two. The other bands actually weren't that bad. They're pretty cool. And I go to get paid. The guy doesn't know what's going on. The promoter, the sound guy didn't know what's going on. Nobody knows what's happening. And everybody who's playing thought they were getting paid the same amount of money. So every band is in their office, like, arguing with this guy. And, like, they did not take a good approach. So I'm like...
The other bands?
The other bands were, like, kind of getting mad. I was, like, a little bit cooler, you know?
Yeah.
So I got the money. You know? They didn't. So I was, like, kind of like, all right, well, I guess we're not going to play here. Sucks. Could have been cool.
There's a phrase that Cubans use that you get more with honey than with lemon.
Yeah. Is that a Cuban expression? You taking credit for that?
We also take credit for the invention of math.
For the invention of, I think the Arabs did that. I don't know.
You've never talked to my cousin Alfred. Everything.
Just adding in general.
Let me tell you something.
That's the Cuban.
Because Swiss cheese, you think that came from Switzerland? No. Jose Marti had people making Swiss cheese in Cuba. Yeah. It's all like that. So people can find you on the Facebook. They can go to the StarParksBandcamp.com, and there's a link to your Facebook there.
Yes.
I say go there, listen to the music.
Yes.
Ease yourself into this Andy Biancooley. Sorry I called you Aaron when you walked in.
It's okay.
But Sphinx, do you know Sphinx?
Is that a band?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Good?
Ah, fucking awesome.
Local band?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to get back into it, man.
Dance music.
Dance music? What kind of dance music?
Ridiculous.
The best kind of dance music? Like ABBA?
No, that's my band Skyrocket. We do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I fucking love ABBA.
Let me just leave you with this.
All right. It could be Oliver's Army. Is that Oliver's Army?
No, that's Dancing Queen.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Do you ever, like, try to... I want to do a mashup of Springsteen, Elvis Costello, and ABBA, where you just put all those records together. And
that's awesome.
Basically the same piano line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man.
Is there any new bands or something that's out there that you think are cool?
Rad?
Yeah.
In Austin?
Anywhere.
I don't know. What do I like? I just, well, not new bands. I just heard this Soul Asylum record that I'm really into. That Leon Russell record. You ever heard of that one? Not Soul Asylum. Asylum Choir. Is the name of the
record. Because I was like,
yeah,
what Soul Asylum record did they do with Leon Russell?
So it's Mark Benu and Leon Russell, Asylum Choir. It's like 67 before Leon Russell does like all the cool Leon Russell stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, you would love this record.
I would love to hear it.
Because it's like, it's kind of like Dukes of Stratosphere, but it's Leon Russell doing like a psychedelic 60s record.
Oh, yeah.
In the 60s.
Wait, what's it called again?
Asylum Choir. Okay. And there's two of them. There's two records. They're so good, man. We should listen to it after this is over. We can find it.
I bet it's on Spotify.
Yeah, I'm super into that. What else did I just get? Oh, I just got really into ELO again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that band, Skyrocket.
Oh, man. I hear they're the best band in town.
Really?
No, isn't that your band?
Yeah. No, we did. We did that.
Did what?
We did a whole ELO.
Really?
Show with the Tosca String Quartet.
Wow.
And, like, the whole deal.
Are people excited about that?
Because these sold are all out. The things. Sold really? Out all the okay. shows we did. But let me tell you something, man. When you have a 12-piece band, because we had to get another guy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's seven of us.
Yeah.
And you work for months learning all that stuff. Uh-huh. Granted, it's super fun and everything. Yeah. And then you get, like, $150 at the end of one of those shows, and you're like, oh.
Great.
That's worse than producing a record.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like yeah. I made -$0.01 an hour yeah. working on this.
Because you promised the string players money, I'm sure.
But just every, I mean, yeah. just you do versus the work. I don't think it was $150, but it was the kind of money where you go, like, we worked really hard. And then we added a few shows, and we did one, like, in conjunction with with the Alamo Draft House for their New Year's Eve party, which was hilarious. I think it was New Year's 2007, like 2006 to 2007.
Yeah.
And they did it at a roller rink.
Whoa.
Yeah, awesome. But they had a full bar.
Wow. See, that's right.
And what happened was people started skating.
Wasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two people broke their arms.
Oh, my God.
During the opening.
Ice hockey
band.
Or roller skating?
Roller skating.
Yeah.
They're just drunk-ass roller skate. And they're all like... Yeah. You know, people my age that haven't roller skated in 25 years or something.
No,
like, and they had to come up on the thing and be like, hey, everybody turn in your skates. This is going to turn into just a party in a skating rink. No more skating.
Wow. Right in the middle of a tune. It's a living thing.
No, they did it before the ELO stuff.
All right.
Yeah, boy, that was a long time ago.
Man, I want to do that. That must have been really fun. I heard that song. I don't know why I knew it, but that Diary of Horace Wimp, you know that song? It's like, Horace Wimp, this is your life.
No.
No, it's such a cool... It's on Discover.
Okay.
Right? Discovery? Is that record?
Yeah.
It's so friggin' good. It's like the best song I've ever heard.
I'll check it out.
It's incredible, man. I would like to make a record, and I'd like to perform live with a friggin' string quartet. That would be incredible. But I know that, that's not cheap. You don't just find...
It's not cheap, but those chicks love to do stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Because they played a procession of a wedding, and we played the reception.
Yeah.
And we were talking.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, oh, we love... You know, it would be cool. We could do an ELO thing. We were like, would you guys... And they still write us, like, hey, you want to do that ELO thing again? And I'm always like, no.
Yeah, no.
It was just a lot of work.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, when you learn... You know, an hour and a half of those tunes, you would be astonished at how alike a lot of them are.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you didn't know what song you were in.
Uh-huh. We covered I Can't Get It Out of My Head. We were doing that one for a little while. It's fun.
That's a great song.
Oh, it's beautiful.
All right, Andy. It's good talking to you.
Yeah, it's good talking.
People go check out Star Parks. Yeah, Andy B. and Cooley and his brilliant, dreamy band, Star Parks, man. You can find their music at starparks.bandcamp.com. Great band. Look them up on Facebook. And hey, listen, while you're out there on Facebook looking up Star Parks, don't forget that you can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? You will get updates. You will get photos. You will know what is going on, and you will be in the loop on this show on a social media level. You can communicate with me. You can leave your opinions. You can leave your feelings. You can just say hello. Facebook, do it. How Did I Get Here? Go like it, all right? Let's hear some more music from Star Parks. You can find this music from their record is going to be coming out in January 2016. And these are two songs from it that I'm playing on here. But you can own them for yourselves by going to starparks.bandcamp.com. All right? Thank you so much for listening to the show. Whatever you're doing, however you're listening to this show, I hope you're enjoying your life. Let's get down. Thank you.
sucked in the belly of a I plan my